11:44 says this: "The man who had died came out. His hands and feet were bound with linen strips, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" Today's message is free from the grave. God always amazes me in how he orchestrates things. And the songs just point to the message. God did that. God does that. He wants us to hear something today and take something home today and every day. That we open his word, that we sit in a congregation under the preached or taught word of God, that we communicate with one another, edifying each other in the word of God, in the Lord. God wants us to grasp it, free from the grave. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would have your way this morning on your servant. Lord, you are mighty God, and your word is holy, and you are holy. I yield to you, Lord. I yield to you. Take this vessel and use me as you see fit, Lord. Help me to hear and listen and obey you as I proclaim your word, as you have given it to me to do. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And Lord Jesus, thank you for paving the way where there was none before. Take this word, Lord, and put it into our hearts and minds in such a way that we do not forget it. Help us to till up that ground, to grab a hold of those seeds that you want us to plant and hold fast to them, taking good care of it, your word, in rich soil. In Jesus' name, amen. The man who had died came out, and his hands and feet were bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." When we are looking at this, the history is really important in this. The context is really important. And I'm going to read this chapter up into verse 44 to you, with you. So if you would, in your word, in the Bible, in your Bible, follow along. John 11:1. "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent him to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness is not unto death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." And every time I read that part, I pause and go, huh? He loved them. He stayed 2 days longer where he was. Verse 7 says, "And then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' The disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him.'" Verse 11, "After saying these things, he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him.' The disciples said to him, 'Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover.' Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking a rest in sleep." Verse 14, "Then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him.' So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go, that we may die with him." Verse 17. Now when Jesus came and he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out. They followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep. There, now when Mary came to where Jesus was, where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the man who had died came out. And his hands and feet were bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The context is beautiful. This narrative, this conversation, this whole event. There's deep meanings in all of this when you look at why they were saying things that they were saying. There's feelings, there's depth. And Jesus, in his weeping tears, stands, holy and completely man, Son of God, Son of Man, and the Son of God. He's holy God. And in that moment of weeping, he was deeply grieved in his spirit and troubled, deeply moved, not only as a human being, the Son of Man, but also as the Son of God, in that he felt the world. Come out of death into life. Jesus was calling him. You know, Lazarus, he was truly dead. He wasn't just dead a little. This is why Jesus tarried. He wasn't in that tomb for a few days. He was there for four, dead. Jesus works where human hope ends. Jesus makes a way where there is no way. He can go further than anything that we can possibly do for ourselves. And he's paid a way for that. And I said paid. He's ransomed us. He has bought us with a price, and we are his. Now, if we get concerned about what the enemy can do, we need to remember we are his. Say, I am his. Resurrection is Jesus' work alone. Lazarus didn't crawl out of that grave, out of that cave by his own strength, out of that death, out of his own strength. Life comes from Christ alone. New life begins with a divine call. Jesus called Lazarus to come out of the dark grave of death. Jesus raised Lazarus to what? Life again. Jesus is all powerful. He's all present. He's all knowing. He is the resurrection and the life. And he is demonstrating this for the glory of God. Jesus calls us to come. Matthew 11, 27 through 29 says this. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except for the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Verse 28 says, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2 says this. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Lazarus was dead, and so were we in our sins. Lazarus had no hope, and so did we in our sin without Christ. Without Jesus on the scene, Jesus calling us out, Jesus drawing us to him, we would have no understanding of how to even know him. We wouldn't even think about it. If it weren't for the Holy Spirit dealing and working in our lives, we would be lost. We would still be in our sin. Lazarus would have still been in the grave that day. Lazarus came out, but when he came out all wrapped up. He came out completely wrapped up. His hands were wrapped and tied. His face had a cloth on it, tied around it. These are called grave clothes. And he was bound in those grave clothes. Jesus didn't just call him out to leave him bound in that. Jesus called him out and said, unbind him and let him go. Out of the grave, bound in grave clothes, Lazarus is alive, but he needs someone to free him up from the grave clothes. You know, today, there are Christians coming to the Lord who are stuck in some places or another in life. Some have not let go of some sin, picked it back up again. Don't feel that they're capable of getting free from a thing, but Jesus is here to free us. And the Bible says that when he frees us, we are free indeed. Whom he frees, we are free indeed. Romans 6:4 says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life, life everlasting, brand new life in Christ Jesus. No longer dead, no longer bound by sin. What do we need to let go of to walk in this newness of life? That's a question. What do we need to let go of? There are some things for us to walk in this newness of life. Maybe it's fear. The fear that comes and binds us down. That says, nope, it's not going to work out. Can never happen. I'm not going to make it. I keep falling. I keep failing. I. But when we get our eyes off of what's around us, like Peter did when he stepped out of that boat that day and walked on water to Jesus as Jesus permitted him to do. When he started sinking and he got his eyes back on Jesus, the Lord pulls him up out of the water. It's when he sunk that his eyes were off of the Lord and his eyes was on the storm. But Jesus saved him. Jesus stretched in his mighty power and his grace and drew him up out of that water. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus when we are afraid of anything. And some of us are afraid of something today. Sometimes shame is the thing that keeps a person bound down. Feeling shame, shame. They're stuck in a feeling of shame. They have not let the Lord love them. They have not, maybe they've come to Jesus, but then they do not allow him to heal them of the shame of their sin. They hold on to that. We must let that go into the hands of the Savior who is able to wash away our sins as though they never were. He can wash us whiter than snow, our sins, no matter how black and dirty they were. He can wash us and make us brand new and cleanse us completely, making us whole again in his sight. As we are yielding to him when he knocks on our heart's door and says, let me come in. Or when he calls us to come to him and he calls us to come closer and we obey, he will come in and heal us of shame. He will heal us, and we need healed from sinful behaviors or habits. You see, those kind of things are like those grave clothes on people. The things that bind them down and cause them not to live freely in this life. Sins that are habits. Sins that become something that a person would just accept as, well, this is me. This is just me. I don't think I need to worry about it. It's just me, but God is calling us to give it to him. God is calling us to grow in him and let go of the sins, whether they be listed in the Word of God, the things that are the works of the flesh. Envy is one of them. Bitterness, malice. There's all kinds of them. Maybe your sin is against your own body and you're doing something that is completely, completely something you can't even feel like you could talk to someone else about. God sees it and you can talk to him. God wants you to let it go and give it to him. Ask for forgiveness and let him wash you clean from these things. Old identities, whether those identities are good identities or bad identities. Old things, the old me. Behold, all things have become new. Let that old me go away and die, but let the new me rise up and live. Jesus is calling us out of the grave of our past. He's calling us out of the grave of disappointment, of anguish, of depression, fear, anxiety. He's calling us out of the grave of faithlessness, bitterness. He's calling us out. Wounds can be something that hold us to the past and bind us up in grave clothes. Wounds. And they happen. They happen as we go through this journey in life. And your pastor, me, if I sat in the seat of wounds, I wouldn't make it out of the seat of wounds. I would change. If I sat and dwelled on the wounds, licking my sores and my battle scars, I would not be glorifying God. But I'm telling you that every time we, even with our wounds, even with the hard things, open our mouth to whisper the name of Jesus, He's glorified. Every time we lift our hands and step up or sit down and praise Him, He is glorified. As we yield to Him, He is glorified. And we cannot take that lightly. We cannot take it lightly. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Blessed be His holy name forevermore and evermore. He is worthy of all praise and all honor and all glory. Do not turn tail and run from the enemy. Stand firm. Stand firm. Sometimes it's memories that hold us back. The memories of yesterday. Sometimes those are great. Oh, if it could only be like that again. The Lord doesn't want us stuck on the past. He wants us present in the day that we're in before Him. He wants to do a work in our lives. Jesus brings life, but He also intends for us to have that freedom that He paid a price for. John 8:31-32, and then I'm going to read 34 and 36. It says this, John 8:31-32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We go on down to verse 34. Jesus answered them, saying, "Truly, truly," this is very, very important, "truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." You see, Jesus is Lord of the house if you're His. He is the God of our lives if you are His. If you have given your life to Him, He has made a way for you to be free from the chains of sin and death and the grave. He has made a way for you to be whole and healed. He has made a way for you to live and live life abundantly, even more abundantly. He's made a way for you to just break through those chains by the power of the Holy Spirit. Anytime we face a giant, He's made a way for us to slay the giant. He's made a way. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, by His very blood. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Resurrection is the beginning. Transformation is the journey. And if you were in Case's class on Thursday nights, you would have heard about this past couple months. We are growing in the Lord in that class. Growing in the Lord. This is a journey of growing in the Lord as you step forward in Christ daily, walking in Him. You're being transformed as you read the Bible, His holy word. We're being transformed. Transformed, y'all. Transformed from what we are today to what He wants us tomorrow to be. So that's why it's so important for us to feed on His word. You know, whatever you feed is going to grow. If you don't feed on His word, something else that you're feeding on is going to grow. If you're sitting feeding on fear, disillusionment, resentment, bitterness, anger, frustration, if you're sitting and feeding on that, it will grow. And it can destroy your very life. And that is not what Christ died for us to have happening in our lives. The role of the community is so important. As we see this moment in time, we see Jesus as He had called Lazarus out, speaking to the community around Him, saying, Unbind him and let him go. Unbind him. Jesus didn't, he could have done it miraculously. He could have called him out of that grave and Lazarus come out of that grave sparkling clean with no grave clothes on at all. But Lazarus come up out of that grave and there was no doubt he was wrapped up and he had been dead 4 days. I'm sure when they rolled the stone away, it did stink. See, death stinks. Sin stinks too. It's not a sweet savor to God. Sin and God cannot mix. Cannot come before God. Mm-mm. That's why we need the blood of Jesus to cover us. When he came up out of the grave and Jesus instructed those around him to unbind him, he wanted him free from those grave clothes. He could have done it miraculously. Isn't it interesting that he did not? What does that say to us today? When we apply this to our lives, what's the Lord want from us today? The church is called to help people walk in freedom. First, they need Jesus. You can't do enough good to help them do enough good to get free. You can't. There's this vicious cycle called sin, and it'll start over again, and it'll be like a hamster on a wheel, and they'll be right back at it again. With every good intention to do good, we need Jesus. They need salvation. The church is called to help people walk free through that discipleship, through soul winning, through accountability, through encouragement, through truth spoken in love. They need the Word of God, the whole Word of God, not part, but the whole. You give part of it and say, well, that sin's okay. That's all right. That's, you know, you'll make excuses and then you've got blood on your hands. Because if they die in their sins, there it is. We must give them the truth and love. Freedom often comes through godly relationships. You know, those are the things that are important. A lot of you came here to have that. A friendship. This isn't a social club. A lot of us had come seeking fellowship with God and fellowship with God's people. It's a great place for that. The love of God stirs among you. You can feel the love of God from person to person. You can hear the love of God being spoke about. You can see it in the meetings, how people minister to one another. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing for a pastor to see. You see, this being my first pastorate, I did not experience, I've seen that in a different way. But I can't tell you that when the Lord says, this is something I'm working on, and then I see it happening, how encouraging and how exalting to God it is. Keep obeying the Lord, church. Keep obeying the Lord and watch what he does. God uses people to remove what we cannot remove alone. And those relationships sometimes call out the darkness that is in us. Maybe someone says it to you in love, sister, that wasn't really godly. That's something that might need to change. Let me pray with you about that. Yes, that's hard to do and hard to say. You better make sure that it's a God-given thing, word that you're saying, and you're doing it in the utmost love, with the utmost concern for the soul. First of all, we got to take the beam out of our own eyes. You can't go around pointing, oh, look at the problems you got. You can't do that and fix a thing. You'll push somebody away from God. That's not a relationship that is healthy. A relationship that is healthy has the best person, the other person's best interest at heart, the other person's needs at heart, and lifts those needs to God and waits for God to give answers, prays with that person, stands beside of them, weeps with them, cries with them, It's a wonderful thing to have this prayer connection where we can get an instant message, pray, and we can stop what we're doing and praying. Or when you text, stop and be able to pray because you're reaching out. Do not stop reaching out. The purpose of freedom and letting him go, there's purpose in that. That Jesus has not only said, unbind him, but he also said, let him go. The freedom of being able to go forward in Christ is important for us to take hold of. That we don't have this freedom just to sit on the sidelines and just to wait for something to happen, but we have freedom to move in the Lord and approach his throne. We can wait on the Spirit of the Lord, but we must be in action in our waiting, faithfully waiting, faithfully seeking and praying. We want to see you, God. We want to see you move. Lazarus was not just bound. He was freed for his future. What a future, you know, in his freedom. He's not just bound. He was released to go out. And when he went out, I'm sure what a testimony it was every day he lived from then on out. Just that he was alive. That's that man. He was dead. That dead man, there he stands. Jesus did that. What happened to him? Well, let me tell you. When we have given our lives to Jesus, he's done that thing for us that we can testify about who he is in our lives, that we can share the gospel of who he is. He has brought me back. He has cleansed my life. He has restored my marriage. He has restored my family. He has saved this soul. He has delivered and healed to the uttermost those that call on his name. Jesus frees us to walk in this newness of life. Resurrection leads to this mission that we have, testimony. It also leads to our transformation when we are saved. This resurrection that Lazarus experienced led him to a great transformation from death to life. I want you to listen to, if we can get this to work, the words of this song, Made for More by Josh Baldwin. A free believer becomes a powerful witness. You are made for more. Lazarus became living proof of Jesus' power, and so do we when he saves our souls. How do we apply this to our life today? There's some questions I want you to ask yourself today. And I want you to hold fast to this and take it home today. Are you still, where are you in this story? Are you still in the tomb? Jesus calls you to life. Yes. Are you still alive but still bound? Jesus wants you free. Are you called to help bind others, unbind others, unbind? Freedom grows in relationships, love, the love of God and loving others. Are you walking in new life, that new life that Jesus gave you? Questions to ask yourself. Now God has these questions for you today. We have a responsibility to him.